Merry Christmas, brothers and sisters.
During this most holy octave of Christmas, we always celebrate the great solemnity of the Holy Family. So today we have that unique honor. And of course, it's most appropriate we celebrate the Holy Family during this holy octave because Jesus, our Savior, the God-man, was born into a family, ultimately like any family, except usually that it's a little more holy than the rest of the families. But this family, this holy family, composed of the Son of God, His Immaculate Mother, and this incredible and saintly foster father, Saint Joseph, is really the example for all families, and that's why it's very important we have this feast and we meditate and reflect upon the virtues of these individuals and of this family, because we can learn from them how to be holy ourselves in our own families, not just our domestic families, our domestic church families, as we call it, but also our parish family. It's the house of God. It's the family of God. And in our society, one of the things we see very clearly nowadays is how the differences between individuals, whether those are religious or political, is becoming more and more extreme. You can't fail to notice this. The divide is becoming greater between what is often called the left and the right, the conservative and the liberal. And it's getting greater, and it, trust me, brothers and sisters, it's not going to stop anytime soon. It will continue to get worse and worse. But what is at the heart, ultimately, of this fundamental divide, whether it is religious in nature or political? What is causing this division? And to very simply put it, it is ultimately not just the view of the family, that's fundamentally a part of it, but it's the view of nature itself. Nature itself. And not just human nature. Not just human nature, because that helps reveal to us, to a certain degree, natural families and what they should look like and how they should function. But on some level, you can't really know human nature until you know divine nature, the one who created human nature. At least some basic understanding of these two natures in particular is necessary in order to not only get along in society and the family of humanity, but just to function on any normal level. The one thing that causes disunity, whether it's in the family of the United States, and the political side of things, or your own particular family, between husband and wife and parents and children. It's a failure of understanding in regards to your nature, and more importantly, your God's nature. And this is precisely why God became man. The Word of God, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born among us into a human family, came, as many of the saints have said, to reveal God to mankind, to reveal God to us, and to reveal mankind to itself. It's really a beautiful quote, that God became man to reveal God to man and man to himself. Because without that knowledge, without that understanding, unity is impossible. Division is necessary. You cannot avoid it. God, we know, ultimately created us to be one family. And if we're not functioning the way God himself designed, then we should never be surprised by the lack of unity, whether in our own family or in our society. So what are some of the essential aspects in understanding the divine nature and our own human nature in order to help us be better people, and have holier families ourselves? Obviously, the Holy Family give us the perfect example, and when we pray and we meditate upon their example in the Scriptures, we can find all the advice and all the answers to all the questions we may have. Oftentimes, when we're praying, when you're having a difficulty in your family or in politics, right, it's all the same thing, just on a different scale. You're asking God for information. Lord, how do we fix this? What do I need to do? And you assume it's going to be some convoluted and complicated answer to your question, because the problem seems complicated. And so you're waiting to hear from God, but you're waiting for something complicated, something difficult, something hidden and mysterious. And it never comes. And you pray and you read the scriptures and it never comes. At least it doesn't seem to come. And it's because the answer is far more simple than most people ever realize. One of the essential aspects of the divine nature, one of the essential aspects that cannot be separated from him, is that he is eternal. That's it. If he's not eternal, he's not God, and so don't worship him. So if you are an eternal being, you exist outside of time, when you make decisions or when you make judgments, you don't make them based on time, based on any temporal concept whatsoever. When you make a decision, you base it on your own nature, which is eternal. So when God created the universe, and when he gives us all of his commands, and when he judges us, when he does all of these things, he's doing it from the standpoint of heaven, of eternity. And that might not necessarily affect us if we ourselves don't on some level have a connection with his nature. But we know, as he has revealed to us, that there's an aspect of our nature beyond our body called the soul. And this soul is unique, whereas the body is subject to everything within time. The soul is immortal. It's not eternal, but it's close. Meaning once it's been created, it will never pass away. It will never die. It will live forever. And since it will live forever, since in that way it is similar to its creator, the choices it makes in time, in the body, will have everlasting consequences. That's all we mean by morality. That's it. It's quite simple. We are immortal beings, and therefore the choices we make have immortal consequences. These two simple points, God's eternal nature and our immortal nature, can go a very long way to helping us be holy. This is why faith is the fundamental virtue for all holiness. If you don't have faith, you'll never be holy. And faith is all about belief. Belief in what has been revealed to us. In our gospel today, we hear about the angel coming to Joseph and telling him to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Why? Because Herod, the Israelite king, wants to kill him. We all know the story well. In fact, yesterday, during this octave of Christmas, we celebrated the feast of the Holy Innocents. These are all of those children, those young boys, 2 years and under, who Herod had slaughtered because he was afraid that this newborn king would supplant him, would take away his power and his authority. So he sent his soldiers into Bethlehem and the surrounding areas, and he had every male child, 2 years and under, slaughtered, just to make sure he killed the Christ. Now, if we look at that from a purely temporal and earthly standpoint, all we see is tragedy. All we see is great evil and sin and suffering, right? That's all we can see. Imagine if it happened nowadays. Imagine if some king or ruler or emperor or leader just slaughtered a bunch of innocents. It'd be hard enough to think of it even if it was in another country. Imagine it was here. Imagine one of those innocents was a friend of yours, or at least you knew the family. Imagine it was your own child. You would be beyond devastated. It's like your whole life would come crashing down. And that would be an appropriate response. It is tragic. It is evil. But if all we do is look at that event from an earthly standpoint, from a temporal mindset, all we see is tragedy. All we see is loss. All we see is suffering. That's it. All we have left to us is despair. You can't get those children back. Their whole life, gone. They never got to live it. Their parents, their siblings, now will suffer the loss of that life for the rest of their lives. There's no way to recover. But we as Catholics for 2,000 years have celebrated this feast day in honor of those children. They are called martyrs of the church. Martyrs of the church. They, in fact, died for Jesus even though they didn't know it. They died for Jesus even though their parents didn't know it. They didn't know why they were dying. They didn't understand the reason for their suffering. But we know. We have seen. We've been taught to think from God's standpoint. And in a mystical way, how God can use this very tragic and evil event of Herod's jealousy and envy and fear and murder to bring about something glorious. These children are now the honor of their families in heaven. These glorious saints, these martyrs for Christ. And some may say, well, Father, they still didn't get to live their earthly life. They still missed out. Do you really think they're just babies in heaven? Do you think they're kind of stuck at that age, you know, 6 months, year and a half? They're never going to mature. They are immortal. They are now with God in heaven. Do you think the limitations of their bodies will bear any effect on their minds or wills? You're not thinking from God's standpoint. They have lost nothing by being murdered in that way as children. Nothing. In fact, they've gained more by their death than they ever could have by a life here on earth. That is the way Catholics think. That is the way our God teaches us to think and to judge. And it's not easy. It doesn't lessen the pain of the children who were slaughtered. It doesn't lessen the pain of their families. But it does, at least, from an immortal standpoint, ultimately remove that pain and give them glory. And that's the struggle we have now here on earth. We're still in the midst of the pain and the suffering, the crosses and the difficulties. And we're tempted to judge them, to judge all of them, just by that standard. You know, when somebody hurts me or upsets me, when they don't respect me, when they talk behind my back or they say mean things to my face, when they disobey, when they don't show respect, whatever, fill in the blank. We look at that and we say, how dare they? I should not have to put up with this. And the Lord is saying to us, think. We're supposed to be men and women of faith. In all the life of our Lord and our Lady and Saint Joseph, holiness was always the governing factor because they never thought from a purely temporal standpoint. Even when Joseph had to flee with Mary and the child, he was not afraid. Why? Well, the Lord was looking after them. In all of the hardships of their journey, which were all at the hands of Herod, again, he was willing to endure it because he had faith in God. And he knew that the Lord had a plan, even if he didn't fully understand it. It was that profound faith that helped him to be the perfect father. And so anytime you're trying to struggle with virtue in your own family life, anytime you want to be holier in your family and ultimately make your family holier, all you have to do is return to the stories of the scriptures, the stories of the Holy Family itself, and look a little more deeply. Don't look for a complex answer, some convoluted political or philosophical idea. It's just simple, simple truths that have already been revealed to us. And one of the most important will help you, and we heard it in the second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Just read this over. You can print this out, keep this on you whenever you're not sure what to do. This is it. St. Paul sums it up quite easily and clearly. You do these things, you'll be doing what God wants, you'll be holy, and it'll help make your family holy. Brothers and sisters, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these put on love, that is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so they may not become discouraged. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.